Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. And I just want to say that we had a huge, huge week. And we've been very, very fortunate. And just to do some of the things that's been going on. And let me repeat myself. This is the Pinckney to Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. And here's the good news. Here's the good news. There are no rules here. We're just trying to accomplish something. You see? And remember this. Power concedes nothing without a demand. It never did, and it never will. Anytime you beg another man to set you free, you would never be free. Freedom is something that you have to do for yourself. You have to stand up and fight back. That's the way freedom is. And we black folks, we cannot walk around here with this oppressive mentality. And the oppressive mentality is when your ego becomes more important than the cause, than the people. That's oppressive mentality. And that's something that we have to fight. And it's something. It's something that we have to get into and make sure we're doing all the things that we're supposed to do. Because a lot of times we allow other people dictate to us what we should be doing. It's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. I want to start off talking about Benton Harbor, first of all, and this water crisis that we're in. We allow white folks to do this to us. They did the same thing over and over and over again. The same thing. But the bad part, we allow it. For years, Benton Harbor residents said that the water was contaminated with lead and bacteria. For years, we were ignored. It is unthinkable that after the Flint crisis, another majority black community must go through this. We cannot let this happen to another community ever, ever again. Now, what they're trying to do now, they're trying to flush these filters down our throats, you see, so that will make the governor look good. Not true. You see, what they want to do, they want to flush, let me repeat that, they want to flush those filters down our throats so they can say that the water is now drinkable, because it's black people. They never would say that the water was unsafe to drink. They wouldn't say it. Even though they knew it, it was a white city. They've been breaking their necks to say that the water was unsafe to drink. But black folks will rally behind white folks to tell the black folks that the water is safe to drink and is all right to keep. This is the world that we live in today. Black people. Black people. You know, 60% of the problem, time, is black folks. It all started with white folks, but black folks took over and stopped persecuting black folks. You know, I don't see how anybody in this world could be a sellout. I don't. It's beyond me. I just don't see it. There's nothing more important than the next generation. And we must stand up and fight back. There's nothing more important, no matter how you look at it. You see, their agenda is to eliminate black folks. See, they bring over some new white folks now. Them Ukrainians, Nazis, that's all they are. None but Nazis. They know it. And that's all a black person raising money for them. They don't raise money for us in our community. But yet and still, we raise money for them. Unbelievable. They have the nerve to call it humanitarian. They was even doing the bombing practices, racism. Wouldn't let the people go to the border, the black folks go to the border. And they kind of like played that down. The Ukrainians, they're nothing but Nazis anyway. They're Nazis. That's what they are. Racist Nazis. Unfortunate. But let me talk a little bit about that killing. That execution-style killing in Grand Rapids. It's unfortunate. But that's just the way it handled. They're going to come back, probably say, justifiable homicide. The young man had it coming. He was black. You know, sometimes that's all they need to say. He was black and he become justifiable homicide. That was murder. He murdered that young man, execution style, and going to get away with it. Mark my words. We're living in that type of world now. Some of you black folks going to have to make a sacrifice. We're going to have to show them that we're not going to take this crap anymore. Just like the governor, Whitmer, and the mayor sent these two white state police sergeants to my home. Unbelievable. I have no idea what they came for because they didn't come to tell me that we were selling water to South Bend. They didn't come to tell me because they knew better. They didn't come to tell me that that I play with the testers. No, they didn't come to tell me that because that's nonsense. They may have came to kill me. See, the word is out that I'm a hothead. Not so. I'm a reasonable person. But I can't see a reason in the world for them to come to my home. I would never call them. You see, because you don't know what might happen if you call the police. You might end up getting killed yourself. This is the world that we live in. It's unfortunate, but it's reality. Face it. You got a better chance of getting killed by you calling the police than anybody on the streets killing you. That's right. Unfortunate. And listen, during this election year, we are going to have to work extremely hard to make sure. I don't care if a Republican get in there. How much worse can the Republican be? So I never voted Republican in my whole life. Never. Never even thought of it. But I'm thinking about it right now. This governor that we have now, she got to go. What she have done to the city of Benton Harbor is criminal. We know that she's up to no good. We know she don't like black folks. But yet and still, we allow her to continue. But let me say this. There are no rules here. Only thing that we're trying to do is do something right. That's it. We are trying to accomplish something in this community. Black folks can do a lot of stuff. but they got to learn to work together. Get rid of every single sellout. If your brother is a sellout, he got to go. If your sister is a sellout, she got to go. If your son is a sellout, he got to go. Don't make no difference. You got to go. That's how we build in the black community. Until we start doing that, we're going to continue being just who we are. Let me bring in my very first guest and see what's on their mind. My South Bend friends, you're now on the Pinckney to Pinckney show. Talk to me. Who's going to be first?
Yes, thank you, Reverend Pinckney. This is John Jones.
Hey, John, how you doing?
Okay, Robert's sister got sick kind of suddenly, so he won't be able to get on there. But I'm here with my brother and Jalasius, and we're going to sit and talk for the time being. You're absolutely right in what you said. The problem now is that we don't understand how critical this is, and we don't understand that we're being done in and undermined. And that if we don't change, they are never, ever going to come out of this. In our situation, you're absolutely right about Berrien County. Berrien County is probably one of the worst counties in America. It's that bad. The judges are totally 100% corrupt. The story that I'm going to tell all the listeners is that the deputy city attorney, and I'm going to tell you his name, William Landgraf, he impersonated a public official. Now, what does that mean? He acted as a prosecutor, and he was criminally prosecuting people in civil action. The problem with that is he's been doing it for 25 or 30 years. It's that bad. What they've been doing in the city of Niles, they gave police powers to code officials, officials would write citations. Now, a lot of people don't think this is serious, but what happened is the only one that can write a citation is a police officer. And every citation the police write in the entire country is no good. The reason it's no good, because there has to be a summons, a complaint, and an affidavit, and they have to be filed before he writes the citation. Then he has to have a court seal on it. But that's just the beginning of it. My family has been in Niles for 150 years. On one side, we can trace it back 150 years, and on another side, we have pictures of slaves. I was the only black person in the city of Niles that owned commercial property and downtown city of Niles. And they had decided that they weren't going to have anybody own any property. The problem with the city of Niles, as well as Berrien County, there's no black person even working in the city building, the county city building of the city of Niles, even as a janitor. There's no black firemen. There's no black policemen. There's no black code enforcement. There's nothing. We have two blacks on the city council. But as you said, those blacks have turned their back on us. And I'll begin to talk about one of them. Trial, we subpoenaed the one council person named, and I'm going to name her so there won't be any mistake. Her name is Georgia Boggs. And in doing so, she either called the prosecutor or the judge and said she couldn't testify. Like I told you, they were criminally prosecuting people for a civil action. This is serious. And one the city attorney and all these cities are the most corrupt that you have any idea. And the problem is the people are ignorant of the law and can't fight it, and then the attorneys themselves are not going to tell you the truth. I've studied law for 25 years. I've studied every aspect of it, anything that I could learn that would help us free ourselves. And the story I'm telling you now is 100% true. I have exhibits, affidavits. We're in federal court. We're getting ready to file a notice of a default because they haven't answered anything, and then we're going to move for summary judgment. What they did is they even had a shoot-to-kill order for my brother and I. I'll tell you just a little bit about it, but I won't go into all of it because we're over there and it would take too long. What happened is in a mortgage foreclosure, they brought a SWAT out to our house to kill us. They brought a military vehicle and rammed in the side of our house. We tried to get the probable cause affidavit and have not been successful. Okay? they had 30, 40 police out there. So what you're talking about, the police coming to your house, you're absolutely right. It's more corrupt, more dishonest, more illegal than you have any idea. Then what they did to me, they went and got search warrants to go in my property. Now, as I tell you this, the leading case in the country is the Black Panther Party. If you ever do any research, all you have to do is Hammerhand, the prosecutor, went in to the Black Panthers with an administrative search warrant. Now, an administrative search warrant can have if you give consent. They then held me in contempt of court because I wouldn't give my consent. They then, I lost probably $1.5 million, maybe $2 million in property and assets. I've slept outside. I haven't drank, no smoking. I've stayed strong. I've stayed diligent. My spirit is strong. So now I'm back to this. Why did they bring the SWAT to a civil foreclosure with a shoot-to-kill order? And just lucky, my brother and I hadn't. We had left the other wheel if they probably killed us. Now, I won't go into the only thing that I'll tell you at this point, we haven't been able to get the probable cause affidavit. And we beat them in the mortgage, but the courts are so corrupt, the judge even changed the mortgage contract. I won't tell you any more of that part. So that's when they came and they had a shoot-to-kill order. We have pictures of the tanks there. A friend of ours called us. Like you said, Bayonne County is probably the worst because the people are asleep and the judicial system and the judges are 100% corrupt. Like I told you, could you imagine somebody prosecuting you and didn't belong to the prosecutor's office? It's unbelievable.
Wow.
One of the things they did to me, they had that. Now, everybody listen to this because this is going to be important. The case is called Hezekiah Samuel Bibbs. He was in Flint, Michigan, and he fought the junk car ordinance. If you call the state of Michigan appellate court, you have to call in the archives and look up Hezekiah Samuel Bibbs, and you'll find that the junk car ordinance was ruled unconstitutional. Now, this was one of the ways that they used the code officials to come out on your property. Now, you have to remember the code officials have no police powers, but they're writing citations and bringing people into court. That's the first level of the fraud. Then they're having a deputy city attorney who does not belong to the prosecutor's office. I have all the paperwork, everything. By not belonging to the prosecutor's office, he couldn't bring a criminal charge. And any time you bring a criminal charge, you have to have an injured party. It's just like when you talked about how they framed you, they absolutely did it. So in this case, what we're trying to do now is begin to expose that this guy, William Landgraf, and his brother, one brother was the deputy city attorney, and one was the city attorney. So Robert Landgraf, that's nepotism in itself. So one would run interference, the other would prosecute it. And you ask, did the city council know? Absolutely. What you have to ask most people to understand, if you're fighting a municipality, the first thing you get is the city charter because that's the constitution of the city. The city could lose their charter for allowing their employees to operate outside the charter. That's in violation of the state constitution, the United States Constitution. It's fraud, it's obstruction of justice, conspiracy of justice, racketeering, abuse of the process, demagogic prosecution, false warrant and illegal complaint. It's just and another 20 things that I can think of in the next second, but it's so bad. You're absolutely right. Bayonne County is so bad, and the problem is that the people have been hoodwinked and bamboozled. This has to be investigated. Can you imagine that? It's bad enough if you're being prosecuted, right? But you're being prosecuted by a guy who doesn't even belong to the prosecutor's office, and everybody knows it.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's amazing. So what you have to do is you have to go anytime you're fighting a municipality, get the city charter. In one case, we drove to Indianapolis from South Bend and twice to get the city charter. We went in with the city charter. So when the city attorney comes in, he has to have the city charter in his hand. But people don't know this. This is so powerful because he has sworn an oath to uphold the Constitution and stand under the charter. So the first problem they have, now the reason they let the code official write citations, because then that public official, the attorney, bills the city for legal services. So all he has to do is have the code official write citations and bring people into court. They bring people into court. What they're really doing is making a mutual fund and a security. Nobody knows this stuff. All crime is commercial. And what they did on my brother's misdemeanor complaint, the deputy city attorney, he said that he authorized it. Well, no city attorney. He's just an employee of the city. It took us a long time to figure all this out. There's the city council. Then they hire a city attorney. Then he hires his brother as the deputy. Well, that's nepotism right there. And what happens is I have all the people that are in the prosecutor's office. Can you imagine how serious this is? These guys have been prosecuting white people. Now, listen to white America. They've been prosecuting white people when they didn't belong to the prosecutor's office. Then you have to ask yourself, why did they have a shoot-to-kill order on a civil action, right? That part, we'll get into it. There's another part. It's called holding dual offices. What happened is the deputy city attorney couldn't be a county prosecutor and couldn't be a deputy city attorney at the same time because he couldn't hold dual offices. The reason he couldn't, because when a public official, he has to file his oath and he has to have a bond. And he couldn't have two bonds. He couldn't hold dual offices. This is how serious this is. There was people who have lost their land, their property. They've been defrauded in every way. You are so on to it, Reverend Pinckney. You don't even have any idea how on to it you are. And the problem with all this is that those people can go to jail for this. You can't come in. Think about that. The prosecutor knew that this guy did not belong to the prosecutor's office, yet he had came, and the judges knew it. The last time we were in court, my brother was in court. They wouldn't even let us file anything. You couldn't even file nothing. The judge wouldn't let them talk. Wouldn't let them say nothing. That's how bad we had these people. But the case is in federal court, so the next thing we're going to file is a default notice. Another thing, everybody listening, what you want to file are affidavits in way of motion. Now, I can't give you, this is not any legal advice, so, you know, don't come and say, well, he told me. I'm telling you what we have done. You want to file an affidavit in way of a motion because affidavits are facts and the judge can't tamper with them. And what happens is when a lawyer writes on paper, all he's doing is arguing on paper. It's called paper pleading. Like I said, I'll let my brother say a little something, but then I'll come back because I have the inner office memos. That's the real killer. What they did is they wrote in these inner office memos. Could you imagine having a jury trial where they filed a case in court and never had a case number in it? Then order couldn't anybody ask any questions.
Wow.
It's unbelievable. One of the things, one part to this, where he says, the point is to keep pursuing the warrant with the tenant, but keep an eye out for Jones and let things calm down so he'll have a false sense of security and reappear as we suspect he's laying low. See, when you're in the fight, you just can't let anybody come and talk to you because they'll lie on you. Just like you said, who in their right mind would have you take and sell some water in South Bend? It's not, and then if they did, why did they come without a probable cause? See, they should have came with a probable cause affidavit and an arrest warrant if they claimed something, but now you can sue them under the False Claim Act, and you can sue them under a simulated legal process. I'll read a little bit of this letter to you. Because what happened is under the Fourth Amendment, you don't have to let anybody in your property if they don't have a warrant. So what they were doing, they were using administrative warrants, not based on full probable cause, which violates the rental restoration ordinance. It says he's refused admittance. We've scheduled numerous inspections because these inspections are based on you to get a license to waive your Fourth Amendment rights. Now, what makes this even more damaging, in 2019, in Michigan, they ruled that the rental housing ordinance is unconstitutional, yet the city of Niles still has it in place, and they're still prosecuting people because they prosecuted my brother. Here's my brother.
Good afternoon, Reverend Pinckney.
Hey, good afternoon, my brother.
This is Richard Jones. I think my brother John has pretty well covered this. Like he said, he's been working on this project, on this lawsuit for since 1995, thereabouts. So, and he was incarcerated for housing violations. The thing of it is that they're prosecuting these people without an injured party, okay? And they're misapplying the law, okay? I know of several people personally that actually went to jail for housing violations when there is no injured party. So, like you said, the Berrien County court system is so bad. I'm 72 years old, Reverend Pinckney, and I still cannot believe that our judicial system is this terrible, okay? Like I tried three times to file affidavits into the 5th District Court in Niles, Michigan, and three times the judge and the clerk refused to allow me access to the court. How do you have any justice at all when you can't get access to the court?
There you go.
The clerk of the court. Go ahead.
Absolutely. Hey, let me say this before you go on. You got to remember that when you're in Berrien County, the black folks have sit right back and did exactly nothing for the last 40 years. And this is have given them energy to do what they do now because they know black people is not going to do nothing unless it concerns them directly. Then they're going to want to fight. And it's too late. You have to stop fighting. When your neighbor in trouble, you in trouble. You see, when the lady down the street is in trouble, you in trouble, you know. And this is how we're supposed to have that mentality that we don't have. And that's why what's happening to you and your brother is happening today because black folks have failed black folks. And then what they try to do, they try to find something wrong with somebody who's willing to stand up and fight these devils. These are real devils. Everything they do is bad. They done messed up the whole world.
I didn't ask for this fight, Reverend Pinckney. Neither did my brother. But if we don't learn to stand for something, we will fall for anything. And that's pretty much where we're at right now. You know, I told the clerk down there at the courthouse, she told me that she had to do what the judge told her to do. And she chose, that's a conscious decision, to do what the judge says to do over the Constitution of the United States. And she swears an oath of office to uphold our Constitution. They are warring with the Constitution of the United States of America. And this is where I have a problem.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%.
They have violated, I'm telling you, if anybody understands, could you imagine somebody prosecuting people for 25 years and they know it? All the judges know it. What length would they go to keep that quiet? So then trying to kill us wouldn't be unreasonable.
Yeah.
You just killed that boy up there in Grand Rapids. Let me read another thing, Jesus, so you understand. Everybody listen to this. It says all crime is commercial. What the judge and the prosecutor do, they make securities and mutual funds of the prosecution. Doesn't have anything to do with what they're charging you with. The judge and the prosecutor are then making money out of your prosecution. The judge keeps a set of books, and so does the prosecutor. Now, there's another part to this. Whenever the prosecutor prosecutes you, nobody has challenged where does he get his authority because none of these are governments. They're all corporations. The 5th District Court is at Dun & Bradstreet. They have to have an OMB number. They're under Trading with the Enemy Act, under the War Powers Act. They have to have an EIN number. It's bad, man. It's so bad. They're taking these black kids and they're railroading them. They're putting them in jail. They're messing their minds up. They're making homosexuals of them. It's unbelievable. It's really that bad. If anybody has any idea, if you're just you're like an island out there by yourself, and they all label you crazy, but you're not. The reason I know you're not because I know the game. I'm telling you now what the judge and the prosecutor do. They make mutual funds and securities out of the prosecution in every case, okay? I can tell you more, but it would take 2 hours to sit and explain it all to you. And like I said, we just appreciate you letting us come on your show, begin to open this up because we need to get this story out. that everybody in the country is being victimized by these code officials and these city attorneys. That's what the mm-hmm. fraud is being ran. They're passing these ordinances that are unconstitutional. What poor person can get it? Then anybody that has a code official come out with a badge on, take a picture of it. Don't argue with it. See, there's no law. See, because in every municipality, you can't have a police department inside a police department. You have to check your charter out. But especially in Berrien County, you can't do it. You might be able to do it someplace else. So I'm telling you now, you have to check it out. Because the code official is just an employee.
Mm.
What they're doing in South Bend, they have the code official. Wait a minute. The code official then comes in. He's the building inspector, the fire marshal, the code official, and he got police powers in one.
Wow.
They're doing the same thing in Benton Harbor because they're having police officers write citations, and the law is only for them to write citations on a state highway and not private property. That's fraud. Mm. That's conspiracy. That's racketeering. That's violating of the public trust, their oath of office, and about 20 other things I can think of in the next 3-4 minutes. It's that bad. It is so bad. Anybody listen to this, you have to go. The code official comes out there, and they tell you got to have a license. You don't have to have none of that stuff. They don't have any authority over you. You don't have a contract with them. Code enforcement, people don't understand, started around 1960. So what they did is there's a case that Hezekiah, I don't have it with me right now, but it's you're going to put me on again, and I'll give you this case, and in it you'll look it up. What happens is there has to be a state law. See, it's called the legislative intent. There has to be the legislator that gave these code officials police powers. The city council can't give them police powers, and neither can a deputy city attorney or a city attorney or the city council or the commissioner. There has to be a law with the legislature. That's how you won your suit, because there wasn't any law. How in the hell are you going to prosecute somebody when there's no law?
Yeah,
see, that
absolutely.
Prosecutor should have went to jail. He should have went to jail.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. You are 100% on point. But look, I know you can't kill it all in one day, but I want you to come back and give the people a little bit more, because we can't give the our brothers and sisters too much at one time. Because if you give them too much at one time, they won't take in anything. But we have a tremendous listening audience today. And,
let me just say one more quick thing.
Okay.
Next time we come on, everybody get a piece of paper and a pencil. Because I've been studying this stuff for 25 years. It took me 5 years to figure this guy out, maybe 8 years that he wasn't the prosecutor, because I didn't want to believe it. We don't believe that these people are this bad until you're sitting in prison.
Absolutely.
That's all I can say. I love you to death. Because when you lock
all right,
down, you've
listen,
been there.
Let's talk soon, and let's make something happen. And because these devils are out there, they we got to circle the wagons on them and make sure that they don't overtake us, because they're out here to overtake us. Believe me, they are.
Yes, sir.
Right,
yes, sir. Thank you, Reverend Pickey. I appreciate you, and we are fighting together.
Amen. So hey, let's talk during the week. Let's make it happen.
All right.
All right, my brother. Talk to y'all soon. Okay, peace out. All right, my good brothers from South Bend. They got quite a story to tell. Quite a story. Let me bring in my good friend from Detroit, Michigan, the one and only Marcina Cole Sr. Marcina Cole Sr., talk to me.
Hey, Reverend Pena, how you doing there? Listen.
May I ask who's calling?
Like you said, Marcina Cole Sr. Reverend Pena, you know, a lot been going on. And no, I can't talk about too long. We can always talk about it later, because we're dealing with racial disparity across the country, in the state of Michigan, with the uprising of police brutality. Starts off with racial profiling, and I know I experienced it, and I know you have, and you know my family, and many of the black community have been targets from these white supremacist cops. And it's systemic racism because you have black cops who would do the same. But overall, we are dealing with a situation where it leads up to death. And what has happened, which has happened across the country with police racial profiling us as we drive our vehicle or be a passenger or walking on the sidewalk, we are being accosted by law enforcement. You know,
that's right.
And before I get into the situation with what happened in Grand Rapids, I just want to say that a person, a black person who was on probation, and he was walking, he wasn't on the sidewalk, and so the police had approached him and actually arrested him and said he was not on the sidewalk. And he said, "What are you talking about?" He challenged that police officer, "Look, man, I'm on probation. You know, you're going to mess me up. I have not broken any laws. There is no sidewalk." You know, so that went on, and it turned out to be a real long story, and the legal folks had got involved and all that. So I just want to say we're being targeted no matter how frivolous it is. You know, a small traffic infraction like what happened in Grand Rapids, Michigan, April 4th, 2022, and this black gentleman had basically was approached by a police officer and wrong with his tag on his license plate. Can you imagine that? And then the gentleman got frightened because he wanted the information, registration, all that. The police officer, he went digging for it. He couldn't find it. And then he tried to give him his license to the police officer. He's howling at him and saying, "Stay in the car. Stay in the car." They don't do that to white folks. White folks, they hold their hands and laugh and talk with them when they pull them over. They get out the car and all that. So he's hollering this. This is what the video shows. The video is really disturbing. So I'll be honest with you, I didn't look at the entire footage of the video because they were, you know, separate ones, you know, one, you know, two, whatever. So anyway, so it was very disturbing how things just escalated. And then there was a passenger that was in the vehicle with this young black male. He was from the Congo, Congolese people. And nevertheless, it happened so fast. It has something to do with the taser. The taser they have, the manufacturer, is only like, you're going to do like two shots and then you can't tase the person anymore. So apparently the police officer tried to tase this gentleman when he had him on the ground. Unfortunately, what happened with this officer, which we did not know his name, the police department in Grand Rapids actually withheld his name, you know, covering up for him, what they normally do across the country with these white supremacist cops. They, you know, they protect them. They don't protect us. They're supposed to be police officers to protect and serve the people. But who's going to protect us from the cops, the thug cops? So we're dealing with the opposite what's happening. You know, I'm more concerned about some a person that's out in the street that look like me. Then I'm more concerned about the cops because, you know, like you said, you know, they knock on your door or whatever, you know, that's trouble. You know what I'm saying? You don't call the police, you know, forget that. Do not call the police because you might not be here today. But unfortunately, this gentleman, what happened, there was a body camera, but mysteriously it got cut off prior to the shooting of Patrick Leola, 26 years of age. So he ended up, he got shot in the head, the back of his head. Very disturbing footage, but the camera went off, and I believe the police officer had shut it, cut the, you know, shut the button whatever he did with the brother, make it go off. And then next thing you know, he had gotten, he was murdered by that police officer. In the background, there was sirens. So apparently the cop, somebody called the police. You don't know who, but somebody called the police because the sirens were coming, all that. Within minutes, this young black guy just traveling on the road like most of us do when we have a vehicle, he's dead. The passenger did do some footage on what had happened, all that. But what's disturbing is, last I heard when I went to attended the rally and the press conference with the news media and all that last week in Grand Rapids, it's real disturbing that, they didn't have the name out there. They didn't have a lot of information. Obviously, the parents were distraught and his siblings were distraught. You know what I mean? It was just horrific how the father had, expressed, his feelings about what happened to his older son. And his wife, with the mother, was stating, they left the Congo because of war, fighting, and then come here, the American dream, and their oldest child got murdered. So we deal with this. It brings sadness because my oldest son is deceased too. But, it's really sad what we have across this country. And we had another in Michigan on April the 4th, 2022, Joseph Miller, 37 years of age, and unfortunately he was murdered by the state troopers. Now, the state troopers supposed to come in with Patrick Leola case and investigate, but who's going to investigate the state troopers because they murdered this guy? And nobody really talked about that. But this is what happened within the same day. So it's an escalation of violence. You got Breonna Taylor came from, she was from Grand Rapids. She was murdered in Louisville, Kentucky. There was a no-knock in place where they could just bust in your door without a warrant or whatever. They said about a warrant, but it was a no-knock policy or whatever. And they started shooting up in there, and she died. And she was murdered like an animal. Breonna Taylor, she was an EMT technician. She had a good job and everything. She did not deserve what had happened to her. In fact, Breonna Taylor's mother did come here to support Patrick Leola's family. She came there because she said because of the fact what happened to her daughter, and they were from Grand Rapids. And she said she was sick to her stomach to hear about this sad news when she came from out of state. It's really, really sad. Breonna Taylor family did not get no justice. Of course, they had a civil lawsuit, but they didn't get no justice because what those three cops were involved in her killing, basically just got fired. They weren't held accountable. So we have these police officers. There is no accountability, when they do these murders. And we talk about thousands of murders for people of color across this country, and just a small fraction of them actually been held accountable and get not just charged, but they were convicted. With the George Floyd, we got justice. It was 22 and a half years for Derek Chauvin, however you pronounce his name. But the prosecutor wanted like 30 years. But anyway, so he's going to be in prison. I doubt whether he's going to serve 22 and a half years. I doubt that seriously. But this is about the longest sentence I heard when it came down to police. Because they have immunity. We have the police unions. They support 100% the police officers gunning down our people, gunning down indigenous people. Do what they want to do and have immunity for what to do. And the Supreme Court basically is the law where they can have qualified immunity. They can basically do what they want to do. You know, it's sad, you know, when you got government officials can do what they want to do, and you got the police officers too, and they know that. They know what they're doing, so they know most of the time they're not going to jail. They'll get fired, and guess what? They'll still be certified to be a police officer. They can go to another state and be a police officer, and they were involved in a deadly shooting. And so they can do that. And what they need to do is decertify these cops that's killing us. Revoke their license to carry a gun. Revoke them, period, where they cannot be in law enforcement. Lock them up. But it's so many people out here, the government, a lot of white folks is supporting when the cops murder black people, particularly this situation that happened in Grand Rapids. You know, I read some comments, disturbing comments, how some of these white people said, well, you shouldn't have ran, and blah, blah, that they always want to criminalize us all the time. And some of us, some of us have been accosted by the police, and, you know, they didn't shoot them or whatever, but they'll lie on the police report, and before you know it, you're being charged with felonies, getting locked up, ruin your job, you have a felony on your record forever. They will destroy your life, these cops. And I say defund the police, disarm the police. That's what I say. But there's so much to talk about that, but I just want to say another thing. This happened this year, a lady 54 years of age, Tracy Gator. She was driving now at a stoplight, and allegedly that she had hit the car, police car. Mm-hmm. So he chases after her, and she's in a dead-end area, which can't go no further. Then he lied and said the police officer said she hit his car again. That makes no sense. Well, he shot bullets like 18 times, and he claimed she was still moving in the vehicle, and then he shot some more, so it was over 30 times. She's dead. Mm. And no justice. There's no justice. A grandmother, a mother, you know, so these things happen so much that we don't talk about it. We get so complacent, you know, like, oh, well, another cop shooting. We are, you know, I don't understand why people just don't want to fight, because this is worth fighting.
Because it didn't happen to them. When it don't happen to you, you don't want to fight. You don't. Right. See, the first thing you don't want these people, first thing they're going to do is come after you, and then you don't want that. You ready for them to come after somebody else until it's your turn.
Well, you know what? They going strong. I knew when they had all this marching for George Floyd all over the country. And guess what? They have never stopped killing us. And I knew it wasn't going to stop, because the way the government is set up for them to get a pass, period. And then the sentiment that, you know, goes on with some of these people out here that supports the police, because their kids ain't getting murdered. That don't look out like us, them white folks, they kids ain't getting murdered. They family members ain't getting murdered. They daddy and mama coming home. They not getting shot down like some wild beast, you know, shooting them back in the head, and they don't do anything about it.
Right,
but
just like that guy in South Carolina. That guy in South Carolina, that kid, they took him to McDonald's Burger King, get him a burger before they took him to jail.
They
sure did,
he shot and killed all those people. You know, and then we can go to Wittenhouse guy. He killed two people, and he's a rich dude now. He's rich. He killed two people, and they were giving him high five. Trump invited him to the White House, all that kind of stuff. So we talking about high five. Somebody invited him. You know, the politicians were calling him on the phone. They got it, you know, got his money together to get him out of bail and all this stuff before. And the judge was loving him to death. And this is why he got off, because the political structure of what's going on in the United States supports white supremacy. And I'm not saying all of them, but there's something very disturbing how it continues to go on, you know, with the police officer conduct and no accountability. Because I tell you something, If I steal some bubble gum at a store and they call the police, they want to give me 10 years. These folks done killed people. I mean, shoot them in the back, you know, beat them, raping women in the police car, did all this stuff, crimes against humanity. And they live to tell it. They don't get locked up. But when a person of color allegedly supposed to have done a crime, as they say, because police do lie on the police report, and when they say that they did this and that and pass on to the prosecutor, detective, prosecutor, judge, they all in the bed together, lap dancing, just to have us locked up and destroy us. They destroy us because the system is no good. They talking about reform, police, whatever. Get rid of them. No weapons. They not going for that. We need a change because there was a George Floyd bill, but then you know the Congress that supported that bill, unfortunately, the Senate didn't. So you know we continuously are fighting. You know, stuff that we fighting for, stuff that been out there, that slave patrol was started off with law enforcement. They called slave patrol to keep the slaves, you know, from, you know, keep them from escaping in the 1700s. Now we got the police in the 21st century. They still doing the same thing. They figure we they slaves. Slaves in the penitentiary with the 13th Amendment. So we still slaves to these white folks. Talk down to you like you ain't nothing. I deal with that right now. So, if you know, a person of a so-called authority, a legal person, had talked to me like a piece of crap. But that's what they do with us. So we continuously fight Reverend Pena. And before I get off, let me just say this real quick, because I just want to let people know, you know, still wear your mask. A mask is fitting. There's COVID still out here. The Omicron BA2 variant is all over the country, and I knew all the time across the country the numbers have been wrong, miscalculated. When the World Health Organization, they were saying like over 6 million people had COVID, but the figures were wrong. It was over 15 million. So there have been manipulation of the COVID cases. Still have some of these, like the Omicron BA2 variant. They're mild symptoms, so people just like kind of ignoring the test, and it's positive. But we still trying to fight the survivors. The fight all over the place. Fight for survival with COVID. Fight for survival with the police. As far as them attacking us physically and killing us. And leaving us lame. If we do live, we won't be able to. We might be paralyzed or whatever with the taser or whatever. So it blinded. So anyway, the fight is still continuing with violence.
Yes,
that's going on.
All
in
right
world.
Now.
Thank you.
Okay then. All right. You take care of yourself. All right.
Okay,
let me bring in my good friend James. James, you close it out for me.
How you doing, Reverend Pinkney?
Oh, you know me. I'm just rocking and rolling and rolling and rocking.
Hey. Next time the police come to your house, look at the left hand. See if they got a wedding ring on. It's a black man in disguise.
Mm-hmm.
Yep,
mm.
They're doing the dirty work of the white man. These black men. But let me say this: I saw the video of the young man got shot and killed in Grand Rapids. See, we all need to also tell the truth. I mean, the cop is guilty, yeah, for shooting him. But you can hear the cop when he's telling the young man, stay in the car, stay in the car. You can hear it clear as day. The guy kept getting out, and he was in a daze like he was looking at the cop like he didn't really understand something. I don't know, but you can look in his eyes. And he just started walking away slowly, and then he started running. Now, see, we need to tell the truth. This is why we can't get no justice.
But
we know when white people are lying.
That don't cause him to kill him, though. Shoot him in the back of the head.
I know. I'm with you on that. But what I'm saying, when they took off, did you know he actually took the taser from the cop and shot it at the cop twice, but he missed. There still ain't no right to kill him.
I saw the cop shooting at him and miss.
Yeah, I know. But once you take a weapon from a cop, you ain't supposed to do that. That still don't give him the right to kill him. But you got to look at it this way now. He fighting for his life, too, when they got that taser in his hand. See, white folk know when we lying just like we know when they lie. See, I'm going to tell it the way I see it on TV. Everybody should be able to tell it the way they see it. Now, how far are you from Grand Rapids, River Pinckney? How far is Ben Harbor from Grand Rapids?
We're about 70 miles.
Okay. I noticed I heard a whole lot of people going up to Grand Rapids. Nobody from Detroit, though, going to Grand Bend. This is my whole damn point. We as black peoples are worse than white folks. They know about Ben Harbor. They know it. But I guess they said it's legal to drink water with lead in it. It's legal. And this is why I think these racist cops do what they do to us. I heard the other day, and it shocked me. They badmouth Ferndale, Michigan, a GM dealership, because they disgraced this black woman because her mama had a vehicle with no heated seats. Her mama had cancer. So they give out phone numbers for everybody to call and badmouth that dealership. The same way with Livingston County Police, when this young man, as a state senator, got arrested. They give out that phone number, people to call to badmouth them. But nobody give out a phone number for your mayor in Ben Harbor for everybody black to call to badmouth him. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? We are our own worst enemy. The only time you really get some justice for Ben Harbor, you, when you came on the Karen Weaver show. Other than that, you never really got it. You never really got it. And you ain't going to really get it unless Detroiters turn against their new enemy, which is their new neighbor, the black radio host. See, this is why we got vacant houses in Detroit. They knew what they was doing. Now you ain't got your neighbor next door. See, your neighbor next door live just like you. They will fight with you because they're living the same way. Your new neighbors now don't live nowhere around you. They black radio host on 910. This is why when things happen down here, the first thing they tell you, oh, no, we don't condone violence, but you allow your people to accept violence. See, somebody is paying these black radio hosts very, very good because all these radio hosts should have been at Ben Harbor at the same time, like they was going to Grand Rapids at the same time. See, they don't like it, but I don't care. Hell, they didn't like Jesus. So what the hell? See, and I call them like this every time I go in the store now and a cashier or somebody say, how you doing? I say, I'm doing not good. What you mean you're not doing good? I say, the president is evil. You get evil results only for black people. Everybody else get the good part of the president except for the black folks. I say, now, everybody else down here under the president is demons. They doing the worst evil president. How do you get all black radio hosts on the same station all day long? And look how your people's live down in Detroit and Ben Harbor. I mean, it's a shame. And to hear that, new radio host last Wednesday, oh, he said the state trooper was black that arrested me. I wish everybody that's listening right now, go on YouTube and you get that video that's 29 minutes and 55 seconds and see how this man acts. Just and listen to the words real close. How do you have a passenger in your SUV and both of y'all sitting in the same seat under the steering wheel running 60 miles an hour up 96 with both of y'all had your pants pulled down to your ankle? See, this is why, and he was a reserve, inks the police, inks the fire him. See, this is what else they ain't telling you. So now, you want a bad mouth for Livingston County Sheriff? We got to travel that same road. This is why they know. They arrested that black man. Somebody pulled a string. He got 2 years probation. Now, if I get pulled over down that way, or you, Reverend Pinckney, they're going to take it out on us because we black. because they know this black state representative got off. They ain't going to pull the string for us, but they pull it for him. This is why we will never succeed as a black race. Too many of our peoples is against us. We don't need a George Floyd bill. The Asians, they didn't name their bill Bruce Lee, Chong Wan, Tong Wan. Name it for the black race. Why are we keep getting killed? Because we don't ask for the right to live. We ask for the right to vote. No, if they killing us, let's get the right to live first. See, Al Sharpton always say the right to vote. Vote don't mean nothing if you don't live long enough to be able to vote. Everybody
there
got a right to live with the black. Everybody
all
got
right,
a right to live with the black.
That's right, and we done ran
out of time.
All right, and Nick, tomorrow, 1 o'clock, we
I
will be
you.
On the
I
radio tomorrow at 1 p.m., same number. It will be a special edition of the Pinckney Show. And on that note, we got to say good night, all. Good night, good night, good night.